Okay. Thank you. I don't think I can give you a good sermon, but the Lord will speak through me, hopefully. He'll pray for me. I encourage you to really join this Angel Island tour. I think the purpose is for us to spend time together, you know, as a family. You know, it's an island there. It will be an exciting day, you know. We had to drive to the... By the way, there's two sign-up sheets, okay? So you can sign up. Maybe just concentrate, focus on one. Otherwise, we don't know. But, you know, that will be the day we come together as a family. You can invite friends. It's a process. We will drive to Tiburon, you know, one of the favorite spots, my favorite spot. We will take the ferry to the island. We can tour around the island. I think Patrick tried to do it to see how many people sign up, what kind of people sign up, so we will divide into the different group, you know, different interests for that day. Okay, I think last Sunday I start to share the truth about from orphan to be sonship of God. I just wonder how many of you start to process or experience that, you know. Yes, I'm child of God, angel raising right away. I want to share with you, you know, this is a journey. You know, this is a journey. Just to know some of the truth will not change you right away. But as we focus, we come together to learn together. Amen. This morning, you know, not this morning, I'm since Sharon's mom came to help. And I see almost every Sunday we have three generation worship here, right? Ricky, his daughter, and Dan's and grandma next to it. It's a three generation. And I feel that's a very powerful image and picture about today's sermon title, you know, Breakthrough 3, Run to the Arms of our Heavenly Father. I see Samantha, you know. She ran to Ricky. Ricky just hold her all the time. She cannot run away. That's the image we are doing right now, right? We try to run to the arms of our Heavenly Father. It's a picture. It's a powerful image. That's what we try to learn. We live in a restless time. There's a lot of terrorist attack globally and domestically, we have the tension between police officer and civilian and the racial tension. So it's easy to make us nervous and anxious, but also it motivates us to know who is in control, right? In Psalm 91, verse 1, so whoever dwell in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Whoever dwell in the shelter of God the Father, you can rest. Amen. I think this is a time we are motivated to be rooted and grounded in our Father's promise and the reality we have a Heavenly Father. So in light of that, we will continue the journey today. Today I will continue on that topic as a part two. First, I could share with you, you know, when we come to the reality of sonship of God, they must have a turning point. To come to one's senses, the turning point. Each one of us, we have to come to a turning point and say, yes, yes, I want that reality. I am child of God. Let's go back to history. Since Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden, sin had entered mankind and separated them from God the Father. Spiritually, Adam and Eve hid themselves from God. Very naturally, they hid themselves. When they sinned, they don't want to see God because of shame and guilt. And that passed on to us. We as the descendant of Adam and Eve, we have the tendency to hide ourselves from God the Father because of our failures, because of sin. We have the guilt and shame. But we as a believer, right, we encounter with Jesus in the past sometime. We receive Jesus as Savior and the Lord. We were born again. Status-wise, yes, we are child of God. But in reality, we still struggle. Right? I mentioned about five traits. Can someone tell me? I mentioned about five traits often last Sunday.
anyone remember?
Yeah, let go security. Yeah, controlling. Uncertain about one's value, self-worth. Work-oriented. Work-oriented. Performance-oriented. Joyless. Right? And so, to a certain degree, we all have that trait. We still have that trait of hope. So on one hand, as a believer, on one hand, we know we're a child of God. Dan did a good job just now. You know, he let us praise, to soak in the presence of Father about He's a good Father. He provides, bless us a lot. We don't want just to bless. Today we want to bless you. Last Sunday, Christina shared with us. Now wait. We want to witness to our faithful Father who provides, right, on the day. So we, on one hand, as a believer, we know we have a loving Father who provides every need. He is providing right now. But on the other hand, we still struggle with this situation. So this is kind of tough. So until one day, until one moment, both have to turn enough. Want that reality as a child of God. We are tired of that gap between the promise and the reality. So this is this kind of turning point also reported in Luke chapter 15, verse 17 to 19. Remember about the prodigal son? And I'll read for you. It says, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's idol servants the food to spare? Here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. I just pray that may the Holy Spirit enlighten us, speak on us right now. Enlighten us to see this is the moment that you are. It doesn't mean you haven't received Jesus as Savior or Lord. Does mean we haven't done, we don't have the reality of child God. We need to turn. Then I come to my second point, direction of running and direction of turning. Too quick while you turn. You can either run away from God because you're so disappointed with current life, struggle, as an orphan, you're completely wanting. You have a choice. You can run away from God or you can run to God. I like that word, run. I mean, urgent. Run. I want it now. I want to have action. So, the direction of running, or run to God. So, when we run to God, what motivates us? What will motivate you to run to God? What do you think? What will motivate you? Suffering and pain. Yeah. Suffering and pain motivate. What else? Okay, so provision attracts us.
Gratitude.
Because you have grateful.
Hug.
In the Gospel of Luke, today I will use the Gospel of Luke chapter 15 about a prodigal son. And I will read to you Luke chapter 15 verse 20. That's his self-talk. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was not self-talk, it's described when he returned to the heaven to his father, how his father responded. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, threw his arm around him, and kissed him. This one verse indicates two things. Number one, the father has been waiting for his younger son for a long time, right?
son never told the father, I'm coming back to him. But he was there. He had been waiting. I think the thing really motivates us to turn to the Father today, to run to him, is our Heavenly Father already waiting for you and me for a long time. That's the number one. That motivates us. Who is waiting for us? Who's looking for us? Amen? Who's waiting for us? Christina, you shared last Sunday, you know, about your thoughts. The deadline is coming. It's coming. It's tomorrow. It's Friday. And actually, the Heavenly Father already waiting for you. He knew this. Isn't that encouraging? Pastor Robert said he motivated him to see guys that when he see the dentist. God has been waiting for him until then. So that's motivate us. It's God's looking for us. The second thing in that scripture says, we see that the father received his younger son with the total acceptance and compassion. You say here, he saw his younger son from a long distance. His father had good vision. He had full compassion for him. And then he ran to him. Did you see that? The prodigal son never ran to his father. He probably hesitated. He think he was unworthy. But the father ran to the son. And he not just ran to him. He hugged him and he kissed him. He is a fellowship. He received him the way he was. I think that's the thing motivate us. It really motivates us to seek the Father. Today, we are here. You know, we struggle with different issues. And we just wonder, should I turn? Should I tell my Father about my struggle? Yes, you should. Tell him. He has been waiting for you. He will receive the way you are. Isn't that wonderful? He receives. He doesn't say, the father didn't tell the prodigal son, go take a shower, you know, change, shave, and then come back to see me in 3 hours. No, the father just came to him. He was stink, smelly, but he received the way he were. So what are the barriers when we want to turn to the Heavenly Father? What are the barriers? Just now I asked about the motivation, driving force. What do you think? What are the barriers hold us back to turn to the Father? Fear. Fear about what? We are afraid he will reject us, right? Is a fear real? May I ask the people on this side, what are some fear you have? It doesn't need to be yours. It can be your family member, your colleagues. Huh? Getting old, aging. Well, that's a real one. Anything else? Hurt. Yeah, because the terrorists everywhere, particularly in the gathering place, busy place. Anything else you fear? How about fear of pain? Dentist. Aging. Fear no money. Poor health. Disaster. There's a lot of fear. I think there's a fear to hinder us from seeking the Father. There are two factors here. One is a guilt, one is a shame. It's referred to our self-worth. You know, am I worthy? Will he receive us? I think, dear brother and sister, this is a journey. You probably already know the answer, but the thing's still there. May the Lord help us. If we confess our sin, the Lord will forgive us, truly, truly. The problem is many times we cannot forgive ourselves. We should look at how the father respond to this prodigal son. Luke chapter 15, verse 21. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. So we can see here, the younger son explained his fear. First of all, it's a guilt. I have sinned against heaven and against you. That's the guilt, right? That's a guilt he had. And secondly is the shame. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Same with us. There's a guilt and shame. But the scripture next tells us, really encouraging us. How did the father say? But the father say to his servant. The father didn't respond to the son because he already forgave him. But the father responded to the servant and said, quick. I like the following statement. He said, quick, bring the best rope. He didn't say bring the discount rope, the cheap rope. No, he said bring the best rope. Put it on him. Put a ring on his finger. That's as him as a heir, right? He's a legit heir, successor. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf, not bring the skinny one. Bring the best one and kill it. And let's have a feast and celebrate. I just feel is. I think that if you were the prodigal son, think about you are in his shoes. How will you feel then? What kind of thoughts do you have in your mind? I know. You probably won't say, oh, party time right away, right? Surprise. Very shocking. Because what did he expect originally? He just won't go back. He's saying, I'm not worthy to be your child. I just hope you can hire me as an employee. Pay me the minimum wage. I'll be very happy, right? Better than here to eat a pig food. Even cannot eat it. But the father say, he didn't say, oh, I forgive you. He say, that's not an issue. And actually, the words after that, he say, that's the reason. He say, this son of mine was dead, and now he's alive. Again, he was lost and is found. So I think that's this father answer really emphasizes one thing is because who we are his child. Even though we have sinned. We fail, we are still his son and daughter. And what that's the father treasure. I think that's very important. I want to encourage you to reflect on that. That's very crucial. We constantly want to change. I heard a lot of people, I invite people to come to church or come to our function. They will say, oh, I'm very sinful. Until I clean myself up, then I'll come to church. Say, if you clean yourself up, you don't have to come to church. You already resolved the issue. As we come to the Lord, he will clean us up. Amen? That's called grace. That's how he will reorganize us. So I just hope this kind of sharing will encourage you and me that we will step out to my final point into the transformation from being an orphan unto a child of God. And I share with you last Sunday about five traits. The first trait of orphan is not certain about his worth, right? We, in this world, the worldly value system, a person's worth contingent upon his work, career, accomplishment, accumulation, right? Contingent upon a lot of things. But the kingdom perspective of one's worth is We were created in the image and likeness of God. God deposited his eternal traits, character in us. We are worthy intrinsically. We have value. We are worthy. That's why we live a worthy life. Not because we do a lot of good things. That's why we are worthy. Amen? So I think we need how to step into this transformation. First of all, we need to repent of the wrong perspective of self. We are worthy. Speak to your neighbor and say, you are worthy, you are valuable. You need to look at him or her in his eyes. Tell him that. So we need to repent of a wrong perspective of ourselves. Secondly, we need to repent of our controlling and insisting our own way and expectation. It's hard when we are not too certain about who we are. We're not too sure we are valuable. We are lack of security. We like to control. But the reality is we cannot control too much. Why this global terrorist attack is so caused so much fear and panic? Because now we are not too sure how secure we are in, right? You can go to see the fireworks. You can go to a place, a square, a lot of people there, and suddenly there's something came on that killed so many people. So there's a fear about we cannot control. But Psalm 91 say, I want to read to you again, say, whoever dwell in the shelter of the Most High, of Heavenly Father, will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. If we continue remain in Him, He remain in us, we dwell in the shelter of the Most High. We have the close communion with Him. We are safe. The Holy Spirit will lead you. Amen? You have to listen to the Father's voice. He will tell you. He will instruct you. He will lead you. The whole Psalm 91 is very helpful to memorize, to meditate on that. Will make you calm. Will calm you down to know you are secure in Father's hands. So we need to repent two things. First is repent about our perspective of ourselves. We need to accept God's affirmation, say, you are precious, you are my child of God, you are my child. Out of that, we live a worthy life. We accomplish well. We pursue excellence. That's the difference. Secondly, repent about our control. We surrender our control to the Lord. Let the Lord to lead us. It doesn't mean we don't plan. We still plan. We do everything, but we ask the Lord before we plan. Amen? I think important, this I shared last Sunday already, is we need to replace the orphan spirit with the sonship of God. How to replace? Number one, live by the Spirit, not by the flesh. I'd like to read, let's read together again, Romans chapter 8, verse 12 to 15. Rogelio. Okay, let's read just 12 to 15. Let's read together. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature. You will die, but if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave, fear, but you receive the spirit of sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. Okay, we just read until here. Right now, right here, I think Apostle Paul mentioned about something we need to live by the Spirit is we have to die to the flesh, die to the worldly value system. Every time it comes, we say, this is death. I'm child of God. We need to continue work on that because that's a tendency, right? We live in society, in the company, and everywhere. How they evaluate you, right? Evaluate upon your contribution. Performance is so close, tight. But you have to know, even though you don't perform too well this month or this quarter, it doesn't mean your value decrease. Amen? It's not easy. So this ongoing things. So on one hand. On the other hand, we need to experience this Heavenly Father's traits. It's a Psalm 103. Psalm 103, 8 to 14. Okay, let's read. Everybody, let's read. The Lord is compassionate. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquity. For as high as the heaven are above the earth,
So great is love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgression from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. As he knows how we are formed, remember that we are dust. Yeah, thank you. I think that this is the kind of father we have. Compassionate, slow to anger, have mercy on us. I think we need to experience that, right? We need to, in order to replace open spirit, first we need to really live by spirit, not by the flesh. We try to get rid of the worldly value system, but we need to live the reality. Our Father is like that in our daily life, to experience that. You know, last Sunday I shared about my upbringing, right? My educational system, all by the exam, all by the performance. So that's very hard. It's deeply entrenched in me about I see myself always through the aspect of performance. Maybe you're not in that educational system, but you're also with a similar struggle. And that's kind of transformation we need to strive for the Lord to help us. So we replace the orphans being, first we live by the Spirit, not by the flesh. Secondly, it's filled with the Holy Spirit, have the fullness of sonship. Just now we read already, we have a spirit of sonship, no more into the fear as a slave. It talk about we are heir of God and a co-heir with Christ. Heir means the successor. Children. We're not just God's children. We will succeed the things he grant us. They are blessings. They are inheritance. What are the blessings you as a child of God you can receive? Sin being forgiven, right? You can grant peace. Grant joy. Grant the feeling that you no more feel guilty. Amen? That's a blessing. What are the inheritance? You grant the inheritance to have a spiritual authority. Do you know you can bless a city? I encourage all of you, when you drive on the freeway, you drive locally, I encourage you even after this service, when you go somewhere, I encourage you to bless wherever you go, you bless. This morning on the freeway, on the I-80, when we were on the way here, I saw a lot of people drove so fast. And they change lane. They don't signal. So a car, they change three lanes, room, and another car, room. They do that all the time. So usually we just say, oh, so fearful. But remember, you're a son of God, you're a daughter of God. You can bless the freeway. So I pray, Lord, I just pray you, I bless that driver, you remind him to signal, to slow down a little bit, and that, you know, you can bring change. How many of you live in Oakland here? The people here, not many, huh? We need to pray for Oakland. And we have a Kingdom Prayer Center here every Thursday night. There's different churches. We pray here for the kingdom business. And last Thursday night, we particularly pray for Friday. Because they notify the whole America that there's a day of rage. They're probably 20 few cities, they have protests. One in San Francisco, one in Oakland. On the West Coast, they start at 4 p.m., the East Coast, 7 p.m., the same time, simultaneously. They call it the Day of Rage. You know, it's an intent to release the anger and rage, not just protest. So the Thursday night, we really pray for this. We ask the Lord to neutralize this. You know, there's no violence afterward. Praise the Lord. There was no violence. We didn't hear anything. And the Friday night, you know, we have a gathering for the Mandarin group to celebrate the people's whose birthday in July. Some of them left earlier. They're so concerned about that. So, you know, dear brother and sister, we as the heir of God, we have the inheritance. You have spiritual authority. You can bless the city. You can bind. You can lose. You can pray for healing. Do you know that? Do you believe that? So bless the freeway.
From now on, bless the city, bless your neighborhood when you walk around. Amen. You bring Jesus there. Bring Jesus to your workplace. And also, we're not just the heir of God, we are co-heir with Christ. If we suffer with him, we also receive the glory. I think if we stand on his value system, we already face suffering and persecution. But we also have glory with him. I just want to encourage you, this is a journey. We continue in that. We transform, we reduce this orphan spirit in our life, and that we increase sonship of God. Well, let's sometime, I encourage you, you know, after this, we have 11 o'clock to 12:15. You don't have to attend all the session. I do encourage you go there. We have some time of prayer. We have some time to reflect on today's message. Amen. And Pastor Robert will be there, and that we pray for people, and that we share, we pray, we process together. I feel when I prepare this message, I myself struggle the most. Right? I look at all the traits so often, I have all of them. I still struggle. And when I prepare a message for today, I just say, what the world can I convince people? The Lord said, you don't have to convince. You just share with people. Amen? Let the Holy Spirit to convince, to enlighten. So now let's all bow our head and then have some time and quiet time before the Lord. Father wants all of us come to him to rest. Come to me, you who are weary and burdened. Our weary and burden is because we feel we live as an orphan. But the Heavenly Father say, come. Give all those that burden you, give to me. Don't take back. And you're a good, good Father. Amen. So good, good Father. So bring the thing to the Lord right now and pray to him. Let him reveal what are those things rob your peace and joy. Those things challenge your status as a child of God. Father, we thank you for this time. You speak to us. You continue to invite us to turn or run to the arms of our Heavenly Father. We pray this process will continue. Continue to speak to us. Interact with us. Set us free so we can fully enjoy the sonship of God. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Our worship conclude here. Okay.
This morning I experienced God's healing. I mean, if you are normal and you don't have any problem, you can feel the difference when God bless you. I have problems sleeping, and then I'll have headache, migraines. And so last night, I feel that migraines coming. And I take sleeping aids, I take Benadryl, I take Tylenol, ready for a good night rest. And I slept better, but still in the morning, I just don't think I can come to church. There's like stiffness, and then the headache was just there. And Rogelio asked me, he asked me, and I said I had headache. And then he just pressed my face this side, and then I didn't know he prayed for me. But I feel I feel there's like starting to have bubbly, like room in my head. It's not so stiff, and it just feel like pop. And I fell asleep instantly. Like I right away snored, and then the migraine just went away for at least 95% of them is gone. And that's what I always wanted to experience, like God's healing. And then it just, it really increased your faith. And so I just wanted to share with everyone, and then that we should all continue pray for each other's. Yeah, praise.
This is so encouraging. I encourage you to take a break, and then we resume in the Joshua house. You know, we have more sharing about Father's work in our life, and then we pray. Amen? It's not just discussion. We need to experience. We need to more testify. God bless you. God bless you.